Yo, can you hear
Yeah, I can hear you now.
me? There we go. What's going on?
I was just waiting for you to start strumming some stupid like tune or whatever.
I can if you want me to, I can.
No, thank you.
Although, you know what I will say? So I have like my apartment, you could record a full album in my apartment right now with what we have going on here. I have been playing drums so much, and they are so fun. And I feel like you would have such a blast on the drums because I am, and I have no idea what I'm doing. I've taught myself actually a decent amount, in my opinion, but they are so much fun.
Drums are the only instrument that can be played fun.
Dude, I just go to town. It's an electric drum set, so like they don't make a sound when you hit them, but you put in headphones and you hear it, so it's not like pissing off the neighbors or anything. And dude, you can just smash them, and it's so fun.
Yeah, because that like the only instrument that would be possibly fun to play is because you're freaking just wailing off on something.
Yeah.
No other instrument I think can think of is fun to play. Possibly piano when you're going to town, but that's it.
Well, I mean, guitar is fun too, but I don't think I can convince you of that, so I won't try.
No, you're not. And you're right, so thank you. Plus the fact that I have like the stroke claw on me, so it'd be impossible for me to enjoy that either.
That's fair.
So a lot has gone on, man.
It's been an interesting, 7 days.
I mean, where do we start? I just don't know where to begin, honestly.
I don't know. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. That's why I just asked that question to you.
Well, here, I'll start by sharing an experience I had from tonight because it was quite lovely. Or maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Anyway, I had to go to the eye doctor because I needed to like just do my yearly checkup or whatever. So the eye doctor is like a half mile or so down the road from where I live. So I'm walking there and back or whatever, you know. It's a really nice night here. It's in like the mid 60s right now. It's very unseasonably warm for early November, which I can't complain about. Right, so it's a lovely night, which means where the eye doctor is like on this strip of a road where there's a lot of bars and restaurants. And there were just a lot of people out, you know, having drinks, having dinner, friends and family. And it was just a very pleasant sight to see. And I was very tempted on my way back because, like, they're like cool looking bars too on the inside. And like, all of them had like open air stuff going on. It's like they have those big, like, you know, oh, big windows and like garage door sides that you can fully open and stuff. So it was like a very open air type situation. I was so tempted to stop in for a drink
Why didn't
and
you?
just, I don't know, I felt like I was getting back and, you know, I hadn't eaten dinner yet, and I don't know, so I didn't. But it was one of the. It just felt like it had one of those nights where, like, you sit down and you have a drink, and then all of a sudden, like, you strike up a conversation with a stranger, and then one thing leads to another, and your night turns into like a whole series of events that end up being pretty memorable. You ever have that feeling that like a night could go that way?
I've had multiple nights like that.
Yeah, but not like, but like there, it not so much that it actually happened, but you have a feeling that it could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't let yourself experience that?
No.
I
Because I it probably wouldn't have. I probably would have sat there in silence, had a drink, paid, and left, and then I would have been like, "Well, what the hell did I do that for?" Plus, I like that more in the spring, right? Because right now it's the fall, so I had to remind myself that it was not, you know, April or May. It's November, so. But it's going to be nice all week, so maybe Friday night I'll go sit outside of the bar and have a few. We'll see.
I think you should.
Maybe I will.
Did you find your neighborhood bar yet?
So I mean, yeah, the place the little strip of road I walked through is my neighborhood bar scene. There's not like a couple of my friends have lived in places where, like, in the middle of the houses, you'll have a random bar. I don't have that. I only have like a street with like probably 10 bars, and then there's another street with another 10 bars. There's a lot of bars in walking distance, but I don't have a true neighborhood bar. Except for the fact that, so my building, all the apartments are on the second and third floor. The first floor is restaurant space, but there is currently no restaurant there. It closed. I don't know when it closed, but it closed. So I am hoping that a cool bar or restaurant swoops in and opens up within the time I live here so I can just like literally walk outside and I'm in a bar.
You gotta find your bar. Like, that's like number one on the
Yeah.
list whenever you move in somewhere else. Like, you gotta
I go,
find
well, it's just hard now because like Chicago went under more restrictions and like it's just, and since the weather's getting colder and stuff, not this week, but I've been to a bar one time since I lived here. I mean, I've been to a ton of bars in Chicago. Just like I was at my one friend's, dude, you would love this bar. It's right next to where friends of mine live, and like they've lived in that area for like a long time now. And so whenever I've been at their place, we end up at that bar. You would love it. It's called the Burwood Tap, which is first and foremost a great name for a bar. And it's right like in a very unassuming location. You walk in, it's got a couple bars, it's like three different rooms. It's got a bar in the front, it's got a middle room with like open area, and then it's got a back room with another bar. But the best thing about this bar, I don't know how this fits into your if you would like this or not, but they have a popcorn machine with free popcorn, and it's so good.
Dude, that it's let me guess, it's a dive bar. Has to be dive bar.
Well, I mean, so here's the thing. Every time I've been there, it's absolutely packed, right? Wall to wall packed. So it's hard to get the feeling that it's a dive bar because it's a lot of young people crammed into this space. But if everybody left, then yeah, it would be like a little more rundown on the inside. Not bad, but
What's it
not like
called?
fancy. The Burwood Tap, Burwood
Dude,
Tap.
bars get major bonus points if they have a couple of different things. A, free popcorn. Okay,
Yep.
so I love popcorn. And if it's good pop, I hate kettle corn though. I told you that what last week or
Yeah.
2 weeks ago. If it's
Yep.
free popcorn, major plus.
They
Like
have free popcorn,
free
and it's
popcorn,
good.
major plus. And then like I gotta be honest, like there's nothing like going like I'm not a big smoker, but if you go to an old bar, especially a dive bar, and they allow you to still smoke, like major plus as well. Some people hate that. I love it because it's like, I don't know, it's more of like everyone just relaxing, chilling. But free popcorn, definitely plus plus on that.
Yeah. Well, the next time you're in Chicago, we'll go there because like we can go to the bars around me, but they're not like, it's not like a neighborhood bar feel, you know? It's like a more, I don't know the word. It's in the middle of a bunch of bars, so it doesn't have that neighborhood feel to it.
How far away is that Burwood Tap from your place?
Oh, 2 miles. It's up in Lincoln Park.
Oh, even better.
Not spelled the same way as the band.
No shit.
On the corner of Wrightwood and I forget the other street.
Interesting. Dude, you gotta. I mean, you gotta find your neighborhood bar. Like the bar that you wanna go to. Like, when you need a drink and you wanna start going, like, after something, like, you gotta find it. Nick. Nick.
Sorry, I don't know what happened. But anyway, yeah. Local bars.
Dude, I love the neighborhood bars are the best.
Yeah.
They're the absolute best. And you have to find yours.
Well, yeah, I will. I've been to one bar, so maybe that's it for now.
I mean, it is kind of tough with the whole like shit, but
Yeah. And like on top of that, like, you know, I like going to bars when you're with your friends and you go there and it's like a bunch of people like crammed in or whatever. Like you can still go to bars, but you can't do that. Like you have to go to bars with people and you sit, you know, off in your own social distance world. And, you know, it's not like you can go, you would go to a bar only to drink and talk. There's no like random socialization, you know, like that factor has completely been eliminated.
I know.
Because you
I
know me,
think.
I love picking up chicks at the bar. That's what I do every time I'm there. It's
Mean.
brutal, man. My quality of life has taken a serious downhill turn since I can't do that anymore.
I mean, I understand it.
Me
I trust me.
and you.
Yep.
We're such ladies' men, but yeah.
Listen, I am. I mean, I've been fucking.
Yep.
Dude, I cannot wait for all this thing to be done. Cannot
Yeah.
wait.
We'll see.
Not gonna be for a while.
Could be for, yeah, I was gonna say, could be a while still, but
We're not going to Vegas.
yeah, I have well, yeah, I have low expectations. I mean, we could still go to Vegas, but would everything be open is a completely different question.
It's not. It's absolutely not gonna be open.
Yeah.
Like, just put that in your mind right now so there's not the crushing defeat when we decide that we're not going to Vegas in about, I would say, literally a month, month and a half, 2 months from now.
Yeah. I think Vegas is, for me, as cursed as California is.
What do you mean?
Like every time I'm sup I have sup I think I know the reason too. So I have supposed how come I can't I can't I cannot speak a full sentence in the English language right now. Let me circle back. There have been three times since I was in high school that I was supposed to have gone to Vegas, this time included. So this would be the third time. And all three of those times, something has happened that has prohibited me from going, something that was out of my control. So Vegas does not want me there. And the reason why I believe this is the case is because my family went to Vegas when I was like 1 year old, so you know, like maybe 18 months. I don't know. I was an infant, right? And I was getting pushed around in my stroller or whatever. And we went to like the Las Vegas Zoo or some place where they had animals or whatever. And my parents had just bought me a brand new pair of shoes, right, for vacation. I had these little itty bitty toddler baby shoes on, right? And legend has it, right? I have no way of confirming or denying this because I have no memory of it. But I took off my shoe, one of my two shoes, and I threw it into the goat exhibit. I believe it was the goat exhibit. Lost forever. And so my family always gives me shit about, oh, next time you're in Vegas, you gotta look for that shoe, right? So I feel like that's the reason why every time I'm supposed to go to Vegas, something comes up and I'm not welcome to go or can't go. So,
Possibly.
in the same way that California is also cursed for me.
Maybe it's the universe protecting our friendship.
Could also be true.
Maybe the universe knows that like we're a great friendship and we need to stick together, and it knows that the Sunday or Monday after Vegas, our friendship is going to be totally destroyed.
Or it could be stronger than ever, right?
It could be, but more so, let's be honest here, more so, what do you call it? Destroyed.
Well, we might have to wait a little bit longer to find out.
Yeah, so then, like, because I know hypothetically, don't go this year, this spring. When do we go? I know we talked about it in the fall, but like, do we do that or like, do we do it next spring? But I know you have a bunch of shit planned for the next spring already. Like, when are we going?
No, it's this upcoming spring that I have a lot of stuff planned. Next spring of 2022, I've got nothing going on.
But don't
There's
you have March Madness?
what do you, oh, is it in Chicago that year?
No, New Orleans. I thought you were going to the Final Four.
No, why not both?
Oh.
I'll take my vacation days all in the spring.
All right. Well,
But dude, we gotta go. I mean, like
hey, I'm all for it, but I don't want to waste a shit ton of money and our expectations. We both agreed on this when Vegas is not really in Vegas.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Yeah, it's not worth spending all that money to go for it to be not the full experience.
Unless I could figure out a way to go to Vegas during my student teaching, which is probably not going to happen.
Yeah. I'd also rather go, I don't know if you're student teaching in the fall or spring, but I'd rather go, I'd honestly, in a perfect world, go for March Madness as opposed to like fall football.
All right, then let's go with March Madness 2022.
All right, well, let's not count out this year yet, right? We still have a couple months, so we need to book flights. So it's not completely a lost cause. It's very slim odds, but you never know.
Vegas to me is what Nevada is to Trump right now, okay?
A close race.
And it's not looking good.
He's only down by 8,000 votes. And there's like a whole bunch left to be counted.
Oh, dude. I don't. This should have never happened in the first place.
What?
All these votes coming in. They should have been.
What do you.
All the mail-in voting should have been due November 3rd. I hate how it's taking so long and that they're. The longer this goes, the more fights happens. They should have had. How didn't you vote like a month ago?
Yeah, it was like early October.
So why are people waiting so goddamn long to cast in their vote? Just be ass wipes.
I don't know. Maybe a lot of it has to do with the postal service. I have no idea.
They. I hate how they did this. That is why I'm running for president, and part of the platform I'm going to run after I win the election, I'm going to run on, hey, I'm going to change the voting system completely.
Okay, well, it's funny you say that because if presuming you would be a Republican candidate and you voted to do that, you would have a bunch of Republicans not pleased with you, but you would be a lot of Democrats would be like, yeah, okay, that's cool.
I don't understand why we don't have a system that has everyone over 18 registered and we have just one thing. You have one password, one card, one something that lets you vote, and that's it. There's no
because that's opens the door for voter fraud. There needs to be security.
There is going to be security. If the IRS can have every financial burden or information in their system, which I'm assuming there is, you only have to assume, I guarantee you we can create a system where everyone is listed as voters and that's it.
But okay, here's the thing. Yes, but the IRS is dealing with taxes, right? Nobody wants to pay somebody else's taxes. But you sure as hell would like to be able to vote on behalf of somebody else and get to make up your mind, right? So let's say everybody gets mailed a code. You go onto the internet, you type in that code, and you vote, right? Let's say I have a wife and two voting eligible age kids, and every day I check the mail. And one day I check the mail, and all four of our voter cards are in there. And I say, oh, no, they haven't come yet, when secretly I have all four of them, and I just go in and vote for everyone in my family the way I want to vote. How easy is that? And that could multiply that across everybody in the country who's like me, an asshole and steals votes. And all of a sudden, right, it's an illegitimate election.
No, there's got to be a way. I'm convinced that there's a way you can set up nice and secure. If the government right now and banks right now have everything online, you cannot tell me that hackers have not tried to go into IRS, create some mayhem with financial institutes or anything like that. You can't tell me that.
Here's how it should be done. You should be allowed to vote starting the middle of October through election day, right? So 3 weeks, maybe even four, but you have to go in person. You can only vote with absentee without cause. You can't vote absentee without cause. You have to have a reason for not being able to vote in person.
Didn't I suggest that a couple weeks ago? And you told me that couldn't work.
Request an absentee ballot without a reason?
No, I'm saying everyone should vote in person and that's it.
Well, no, but some people should be able to get a mail-in ballot, but you have to have a valid reason. It can't just be like, oh, I don't really feel like going in. That's not a valid reason. A valid reason would be, oh, I'm a 90-year-old woman and I don't leave my house. Okay, fine. You get an election ballot, or I'm whatever your reason is. I don't know, but there would be valid reasons, but it would be a small minority. But the problem is, people would say that would reduce voter turnout because there would be people who would just be too lazy to actually go to the polls, as opposed to being able to just do it from their house. So
Well, it's
I
just
don't
like
know.
any other year, dude. If people are too dumb enough not to vote, you're an idiot. I mean, you're an absolute idiot.
Well, I'm pretty sure in Australia, if you don't vote and you don't have a reason for not voting, it's against the law. Like, you can be fined or whatever.
Find them.
Like, maybe we should do that here.
Yeah,
Yeah.
do it.
Honestly, make it a law. You have to vote unless you have a legitimate reason why you can't. I don't even know what that would be. But if you don't, you get like a $100
I
fine
don't
or whatever.
understand that either. Like, you have to have. I don't understand people that say they can't vote or they can't decide. Like you know me. Like, I have a decision about everything, an opinion about everything. I don't understand people that don't care or don't have a choice or don't have a choice. Like, you have to be swayed one way or another. Say it one way or another. It's that simple. Either yes or no,
But no,
left or right.
no, that
Blonde or brunette?
doesn't
Like, it's that simple. Huh?
dyed black.
Like, then fine. Then vote Libertarian or
No,
some
but
Green Party or some shit. You have to have at least one choice. If you're not gonna vote or you say you don't care, go write in Kanye.
yeah, as long as you allow people the option to write in somebody, then that's fine.
Exactly. So why should
You can't force him to choose between two people, though.
I'm not doing that. I'm saying you have to vote. You have to say a person's name. That could be your mom's name, your own name, Donald Trump's name, Joe Biden's name. I don't care who. Say a name. I don't understand people that are like, yeah, I don't care. No, you do care. What? Who is the person you want as president of the United States? It could be yourself. You're not going to win, but hey, who is it? It pisses me off.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point. It doesn't make me as angry as it makes you, but I understand it.
This is just ridiculous, dude. The polls have been open, the mail-in ballots have been open for so long, and still, it is November 4th, and we're still fighting over votes. It is so stupid to me. All this should have been
Well.
done. If they should have said if mail-in votes are perfectly fine this year because of COVID and blah blah whatever. If you want to send in mail-in votes, that's fine, but you have to get it into us before November 3rd, because we're gonna have votes. We're gonna tally up everything, and we're gonna have an election winner by mid-morning or the middle of the night on November 4th. It is that simple, okay? So you got an extra 2 or 3 weeks to vote. Mail in your shit. We'll even give you the stamps. That's it, done. Because this is just ridiculous. We need an answer. We need the answer now.
Yeah. I also feel like Illinois does this, or at least did it this year. I don't know if other states did, but in terms of mail-in voting, I feel like even if you request an absentee ballot and it gets delivered to your house and you fill it out, at that point you shouldn't like I question people who just put it in the mailbox and use like the United States Postal Service to get it back. Like, there should be at every polling place a secure drop box where you, instead of mailing your ballot with the postal service, you drive to your polling location. You don't have to get out of your car. You just roll down your window and you shove your ballot in this box. And at the end of every day, they come out and they grab all those ballots, they bring them inside and they count them, right? And then it's done, right? It's no different than voting in person, essentially, except for the fact that you filled it out at home and just dropped off the ballot at the polling place instead of going into the polling place.
Well, yeah, agreed. I don't. Well, another thing is too. When you vote, how'd you vote? Did you vote in person?
Yeah, I went inside and like used the machine.
Did you have like a Scantron seat?
Like a Scantron
Yeah.
thing? No, ours was all like on a machine. You like turn a wheel, and then when you're highlighting the person you want to vote for, you hit enter and then it records that.
So, for the past two elections, well, I guess. Whatever, one, two and a half, whatever. We got like a like a ID card. Like it was like think of it as like a credit card where you get it.
Yeah.
They swipe it on like a machine. It registers that says like Connor Bort's like age 20, whatever. And you put it on the side of this machine and it like takes like Connor Bort's, this is your vote. This is who you're voting for. This year, I went into the polling place. I sign my name on an electronic thing. They give me a piece of paper and a pen. And they say, go fill this out. I filled in my circles. And you go to this machine, like printer machine, and you like put it in. And that's how it took your votes.
Huh. That's interesting.
Which I thought was stupid. Because, and on all honesty, if the polling place is dead, you could pull out as many forms as you want, scribble on your choices, and just feed the machine as much as you want.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This is what I don't understand. There needs to be a secure way that everyone votes, and that is accurate, and we can get live updates, so there's none of this, we don't know if this person voted for you. Oh, another thing is, when I went into the voting place, two people in front of me were like, yeah, we got a mail-in ballot, but we just didn't turn it in or like something. And then there was some like chaos. Like, because these people requested a mail-in ballot. They never got it, or they weren't responsible with it. I don't know what happened, to be honest with you. And then they got the vote. This is such a shit show. And it makes the United States of America look like, who knows, Stan, in the middle of like the Middle East or Europe or South America, who has no electricity, and we're all trying to figure this out for the first time when we've been in democracy for like 300 years.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that's just Pennsylvania, right? Which I agree, that seems like a really weird way of voting. But for me, I walked in, they had to verify it was me. I had to fill out a form or whatever, and they like had to just look me up in the voter registration, you know, whatever. And then they gave me a code, like a six-digit code or something like that. I went over to the machine. I typed in the code. That's how it knew it was me voting. And then I voted. And then all electronic, right? It was all on a screen. Like you click on the person you're voting for. You go to the next screen. You click on the person you're voting for. You do that until you're done. And then you hit submit. It brings up all of your, like, you look at everyone you voted for, so you can confirm it registered correctly. And then you hit confirm, and then your vote is submitted. It's all done electronically on a machine, right? It looks like it's like an arcade game looking machine.
That's how it should be.
It was very simple.
Everyone should get a code, just like what you happened. There should be no paper ballots. There should be no nothing. Everyone should be assigned a code, and that's it. That is their code.
Yeah, like the way, exactly how I did it, I think makes perfect sense. And it was easy, and it was quick, and it was very logical.
This is so dumb, dude. This is so dumb. Oh, another thing is, too, you were texting me last night, watching, like, CNN and Fox and all that shit. I'm never, ever, 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 ever watching another stupid presidential polling, like, aircast. The night of election. No one knows what the hell they're talking about. Ever. They're always like...
They're just making predictions and assumptions and watching the numbers come in.
It is so stupid to watch. Like, how they're predicting, hey, this state is going to go red, this state's going to go blue, this county, you know, if they get, you know, 20... There's only 25% of the vote in, but if they get 50% of the next, you know, 100,000 votes, like... Trump's going to win or Biden's going to win. No one knows shit. No one knows shit. It is so annoying. All I want from now on is a live tracker where it says how many votes are needed to win the county or the state votes, delegates, or if you're like a senator, the amount of people that need to vote for you. I want that number on the board, okay? I want one side being the one candidate and the other side being the other candidate. Or in some cases, three candidates, okay? And I want to see how many votes come in live, okay? That way, there's no predicting, there's no assuming, there's no guessing, there's no nothing. It is just the stats, and that's what I want, okay?
Well, you take that. I would hate that. I love the suspense, the intrigue, the unknowns becoming knowns as numbers come in and, you know, different things change. Like you said, like last night, for example, like Ohio was blue. We're watching, oh, Cleveland County, you know, Cuyahoga County, all these states are coming in. Oh, what's left out there? You know, is it in-person vote? Is it early vote? What's coming in? Like, what's been counted already? How's it going to change? And then, like, you slowly watch it shift, and Trump ended up winning the state. But, like, it was interesting because it was Biden. And then it was like, okay, hold up. Like, this wasn't supposed to happen, right? And then you started seeing the flip come in, and I like it. I don't need to know. In fact, I prefer not to because I was sitting on my couch. I was watching. I had a couple drinks. Like, it was as good. It was honestly for me as much entertainment as if I were watching like a sporting event.
I mean, it was
because it's basically what it is. You're basically watching two people compete head to head, right? Whoever gets the most votes, right, the highest score wins. Like it's at its most basic level. That's what it is.
But I hate the banner. I hate the banner of like them not knowing or like. I was watching Fox last night, and the one like predictor analyst dude was on the thing because it was right after Arizona got called blue, and the head chief like anchor guy for Fox was like, can you be 100% sure that this is accurate, like Arizona's definitely turned blue? And the guy goes, yes, 100%, like we know this, we ran the numbers, blah blah blah. And then 5 minutes later the dude goes, all right, I gotta ask this again, can you 100% know that Arizona's gonna turn blue? And the anchor dude or the predicting dude was like, yes, 100% sure. And it's like, dude, like, no, like, it is so frustrating to watch. It is the most frustrating thing to watch because no one knows what the hell they're talking about, ever.
I like it. And CNN has not yet called Arizona. They're, like, one of the few news outlets that has not called Arizona one way or the other.
Is there any other states that you haven't called?
Yeah, that I haven't called, that CNN hasn't called. Yeah, they have not called. Let's see if they pulled the map. Yeah, they have not called Pennsylvania, which nobody has, I don't think. They have not called Arizona. They've not called Nevada. They've not called North Carolina. And they've not called Georgia.
I truly and honestly don't understand this shit.
Well, Georgia is actually kind of interesting because, like, last night, when I turned off the TV at like 11:15, 11:30 my time, so like 12 after midnight your time, Trump was up in Georgia by like 350,000 to 400,000 votes, roughly. He's now up by like a little over 30,000. Like the gap has just been narrowing. And it's just like, what's going to happen?
I don't understand. This should have been all decided at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, I like the suspense. Drag it out. Don't announce till Friday or the weekend. That's fine with me.
This makes us look like a third world country. How we can't have a general election go smoothly.
Well, then become a politician and fix it.
I want to be. I'm going to run for president. And I'm going to sweep the nation. There's going to be so many changes I make. It's going to be phenomenal. And it's going to be hell for people to pay that, you know, want to wait until the very last minute to go mail in their votes. You had 4 weeks to mail in your votes.
All right. Well, you have not yet won my vote. If you do run, you'll have to convince me to vote for you.
I won't need your vote. I'm telling you that right now.
You're right, because I live in Illinois, and if you run as a Republican, you won't win.
No, Illinois, I'm going to win Illinois. I'm gonna turn it, my electoral map when I run for president is going to look like 1984 Reagan and Mondale.
Even if that doesn't happen, but if you run for president, somehow win the nominee for Republican, and you win the state of Illinois, I will literally do anything you ask me to do. There is literally nothing off limits that I will not do. You could say, go up to your bank account, it could be all your money. I would do that. You could say, get naked and swim across Lake Michigan. I would do that. There is literally nothing I would not do for you if all things happen leading up to you running for president as a Republican and winning the state of Illinois.
I want you to text Kyle Stittman and ask to hang out for a whole day.
Done. For a whole week. Done. Move in together. Done.
I have another suggestion, but I won't say it on air. I'll have to text you
All
later.
right. Yeah, please do. I'm telling you, there is literally nothing off limits. The only thing I wouldn't do was like kill somebody, right? Or cause harm to somebody. That's all. The only thing that's off limits. Anything else, completely fair game. I would embarrass the hell out of myself, right?
What I dude, like, it is so frustrating how this should have been so easy. So
First of all, you wouldn't have to win president for me to be okay with that, first of all. Second of all, there's a big spelling mistake in what you texted me. Not that I care, but
whatever. What I don't
yeah,
I don't give
that would not be a problem. I would gladly do that if you won.
Dude, this is so stupid. This is gonna, and what's even worse is that Trump, assuming because I've already, like, I texted you last night, Biden's gonna win this. I texted you that as soon as Arizona became blue, Biden's gonna be president, and Trump's gonna throw a hissy fit, and he's gonna drag this out even longer.
He already is. I've been following his Twitter. He's been saying all these votes are showing up out of nowhere, like voter fraud, fake vote, like all this stuff. So what he did is he tweeted, he's like, I declare myself victor in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Like he declared himself the winner, like as if that means anything. But yeah, I would love, I think if they could just put a camera on Trump right now and just, I would love to just see how he's reacting to all this because he probably doesn't know what to do with himself. Like, he has never been in a position where he might lose and there's nothing he can do about it, right? You can't pay your way out of this. You can't buy your way out of this. You can't, like, do questionable things legally to get out of this. This is the one thing that is. What happens happens, and there is no overturning that. And it's like he probably has no idea. He's never, I don't think Donald Trump has ever in his entire life been in this position where he could. I'm not saying he will lose, I'm saying he very well could lose, right? I'm not ready to call this election yet, but he's probably has no idea how to act right now, right? Because in 2016 he was winning every state left and right. He blew Clinton out of the water, but this time around it's not the case, and he probably is just I'm just completely beside himself. I have no clue but I would be fascinated to just see how he's
I
reacting
would
to
have
all this.
loved to see him when he lost Arizona.
He probably doesn't think that he did lose Arizona. And I don't, I he's lose, and in my opinion, he is losing Arizona. That is the truth, but he has not lost it definitively. I'm not ready to make that call.
I understand why you're not ready to make that call.
Because there's a lot of votes in play and the margin
Again,
is
when
there.
has
I mean,
this
there's
ever
like.
happened? That this lasted, what? How long is this gonna last?
Well, here's the thing. In every election, votes have been counted for the days following the election, right? This is not new. What's new is that everything's close enough for these votes to matter, right? Because there's so many of them. That's the only thing that's different.
Whatever. We should have an answer every November 3rd/4th. We should have an answer. This isn't the 1700s or 1800s where we don't have any technology and we don't have electricity. We don't have like live updates. We don't have computers or anything like that. We need an answer right then and there. We are a first world country. Hell, we're probably the most wealthiest country in the world, and you can't you, like. It is absolutely bizarre to me how this isn't so much better for everyone involved.
Well, I don't know. I don't mind it personally, so you clearly do, but there are people out there like me who don't. So,
and I don't understand that at all.
That's because I have a thing, Connor, that it's called patience. I'm not sure if you've ever had patience in your entire life.
When have you known me to have patience, ever?
Never. That's what I'm saying. Never,
especially
ever.
Big decisions like this. This isn't just like, hey, I'm waiting on you to text me back on whether or not like you want to go to Vegas or not. This is the president of the United States. This isn't like, hey.
Which is why you need to be very certain that what you're doing is accurate and correct,
My point is, we should have a system already in place that is accurate and sped up than, you know, counting votes one by one, each sheet or each electronic marker or whatever it is, whatever state uses. This needs to be fast and accurate and done.
Well, that's just not how it
is. I don't understand why it's not either.
Maybe one day we'll get there, but not this time.
Whatever. Biden is our next president. Everyone has to accept that.
We'll see.
And you know why? You know why he's the president? You know why he is?
Voter fraud.
No. Because I talked to you about this 2 weeks ago or whatever. I opened my mouth and I jinxed it. Because I texted you saying, hey, should I send a certain text message to certain people?
No. Yeah.
And
you said this to me yesterday, not 2 weeks
ago.
No,
I said about me opening my mouth and how like things go badly when I do that.
No.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember when this always happens to me. As soon as I start running my mouth, when the outcome is not already decided, and I start running my mouth or anything like that, I always lose the bet, or it always goes a different way, or whatever. However, what happened last night, I thought Trump was looking good. I texted you saying, hey, hypothetically, if he wins, I'm going to send this text to these people, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And what happens then? Not even 20 minutes later, Arizona's called blue. And then the dominoes start to fall for Trump not getting reelected. So I blame myself. This is all my fault. I jinxed it. I should learn my lesson. I didn't learn my lesson 2 weeks ago because I forget what bet I lost. But I didn't learn my lesson then. I haven't learned my lesson in like 15 years of me like betting people on the side. I need to shut my mouth until the outcome is finally decided. I believe it's on me.
Well, here. On behalf of the majority of American citizens who voted in this election, we'd like to thank you for your jinx. If, in fact, you are correct.
I am correct.
Because your jinx, Connor, has, dare I say it, made America great again.
I don't know about that, man. I don't know about that. I think it's going to take another president besides Biden. He's not going to I don't know if we need someone to unify this country. Biden's not going to do it. Trump sure is hell not going to do it.
No, okay. I think Trump dug such a deep divide between the left and the right that there is no such thing as a unified America for years to come,
no.
Right? The damage he did, I think, is irreparable for years. You could have Jesus Christ reborn president of the United States, and people would still
split. No, I totally agree with that. I think it's going to be at least it might happen in 4 years, but I think it – Trump did add some damage to it, but I think Obama started this.
What did Obama do?
Oh, he's
– he was pretty centrist compared to – compared to the Democratic Party today, Obama was a pretty centrist guy.
No.
Okay, then I would like for you to explain to me why not.
Why? Because he started marching with Al Sharpton.
Okay. For what? Racial equality?
You know, dancing with, or not dancing, marching with Al Sharpton for racial equality is like me marching with Rosie O'Donnell for being skinny or something like that. Okay, that's not racial equality. When you march with Al Sharpton and the Black Panthers, that would be the equivalent of Donald Trump walking with the KKK and Adolf Hitler.
I don't agree with that. I don't. I don't think that that's Al Sharpton's role as this radical leftist guy. But
Al Sharpton is on the list of people that I would punch in the face multiple times if I saw him on the street and not care about getting in trouble for it.
Well, but I think back to the whole divide thing. I think that from now on, anybody, whoever the Democrats put up as their running as their nominee, is going to be a socialist. Whoever the Republicans put up as their nominee is going to be a neo-Nazi. And it's just going to be smashing heads, you know, until somebody wins an election that everyone's going to call bullshit on. Like, that's just where we're
headed. I don't think the Republicans win a election for their, if they don't win this one, which I've already decided they're not winning. This is it. This is the end of democracy and any right wing in America.
Well, you know what's interesting? Okay, if you say it's the end of democracy, then that's very dramatic. But what's interesting is that despite how the presidential race is going, the Republican Party is doing extremely unexpectedly well in both the Senate and the House, which I never fully understood that. Like, there are states who vote Democrat for the president but vote Republican elsewhere. Right, like, and I get it. Like, the House is different because it's broken down by, like, parts of the state. Like, you have a very Republican part of the state, vote for a Republican. That, yeah, I get that. But especially the Senate races, like, the Democrats were like, we're going to flip the Senate. We're going to have a majority. No, best case, things stay as they were, right, in the Senate. The House, the Democrats are thinking, oh, we're going to pick up seats. We're going to be cruising through the House. They've lost seats, right? There have been Democratic incumbents lose to Republican challengers, far outpacing Democratic beating Republican incumbents in this election, right? So the Republicans are doing better than the Democrats in the House and better than expected in the Senate, right? So that's what I find so interesting about all this, is just like how the dynamic of each individual race changes, even within a state, based on how it goes for its House members, senators, and presidential preference, which, you know.
Well, thank God, because you guys aren't going to be able to pack the court then.
That's actually not true. That there is no rule that, and I'm not saying I agree with court packing, but there is no such thing as court packing. You'd have to.
I thought you had to go through the Senate.
Well, you have to get them approved by the Senate, but Joe Biden could nominate as many people as he wants. He could put an extra six people on the court if he wanted to. He doesn't need approval to nominate them, but they would have to get approved.
Yeah, and they're not going to get approved.
Yeah, but also Mitch McConnell is the biggest scumbag who ever lived for what he did with the Supreme Court. So,
what, 4 years ago?
4 years ago. We have to wait until there's an election so that the America can decide. This year, no, we're just going to do it anyway.
I think no matter what party is, no matter what party is in control, whether it be Democrat or Republican, if you're a sitting president and there's a seat open for the Supreme Court, while you're in office, you should get to decide. I don't care if it's 2 days before the election. You get to pick your nominee.
Well, that's how it is right now. But
that's how it always should be.
The Senate. No. Yeah, you can nominate. But the thing is, the leader of the Senate, in this case, Mitch McConnell, is the only person who can, like, gather the Senate to vote on it. Right. So that's what happened with Obama. He nominated Merrick Garland in February. Right. The vote was in November. He nominated him in February. Mitch McConnell just said, I'm not holding this vote because I'm a dirty, scummy piece of shit. It was his argument, right? Like, because he's a horrible human being.
You should have, and that should be an automatic vote, in my opinion. Yeah. Automatic.
If any, yeah, and at that point, I don't know if the Senate, well, no, the Republicans had to be in control of the Senate if Mitch McConnell was in charge of it. He could have just been like, hey, everybody in my party, vote against this person. Because at least you still hold the vote. He gets shot down. The Democratic process has run its course fairly and has happened in a way that the nominee is rejected. That's fine. But the fact that he didn't even hold the vote is the most un-American, unpatriotic thing anybody could have ever done.
There
in
should
that
be a
situation.
Vote automatically when there's a Supreme Court justice seat open.
I completely agree. There should be, you have like, you should be able to have 2 weeks or a month or whatever. They run like they do like the interviews with the different committees. That's fine. But at the end of it all, there should be a vote, right? 30 days after nomination,
there needs to be a vote.
Yeah, I agree. Completely agree.
I don't know, man. I hate this mess.
Yep. But it's our mess. It's our good old American mess.
But there's not going to be a so-called Republican president ever again in the United States of America.
Well, the Republican Party, I'm not saying all Republicans, but like in, I think, Georgia, a woman got elected to the House of Representatives who is like a full-on QAnon supporter, believer, conspiracy theorist. Like, those are the kinds of people the Republican Party are putting in the United States House of Representatives, which to me just makes me think that Republicans are just have lost their minds.
No, I don't think it's the problem. I think that I said that to my parents last night. There's no one on the bench for the Republicans that you can look and say, hey, in 4 years, this guy or this girl is going to be like our guy or our person, our girl, for all of you politically correct people out there.
Well, I'm wondering, like, tell me if I could be wrong, but I feel like so many of the people in the Republican Party who were in that position got cast aside and like blacklisted by Trump, and then all of a sudden, you know, like the people the Republican Party were breeding to be president, all of a sudden, like, have no support because Trump completely ousted them, and all the Republican batshit crazy people, right, from like the again, not all Republicans, but the vocal ones, ended up doing that. Like a guy like Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, right, young guy, had a lot of support, right. He was gonna be, you know, the next guy in the Republican Party. He got absolutely blacklisted by Trump, and now what is he doing? I don't even think he's in politics anymore. Like, Paul Ryan is a guy I could have voted for. Like, I liked Paul Ryan. I definitely like Paul Ryan. But he, like, Trump just did stuff like that, and he's just gone now. Like, who else ran for, like, a guy like John Kasich, right, was running for president in Ohio. He's like a Democrat now because he got blacklisted by the Republican Party.
That's
all these people.
No.
Mitt Romney, the presidential nominee, right, 8 years ago, a guy I voted for. Now he, like, every Republican hates him because he's the one guy in the Senate who's proud enough to stand up to Trump, who has enough self-confidence to do that. Like, but now he's the Republican Party. Oh, he's a rhino. Oh, he's one of those, you know, Republican enamel. Like, it's unbelievable what Donald Trump has done to the Republican Party, in my opinion. As somebody who has voted Republican in the past, I think he has just torn this party to the ground.
Well, first of all, there's a couple things there. Anyone that switches from one political party to another is an absolute joke.
Not at all.
How?
Okay, I voted for Mitt Romney because he was a reasonable person who had good politics. I voted for Joe Biden because Donald Trump is an insane human being who belongs in a mental institution. Is that me flipping parties and
No, I'm talking about people that believes that, because if you switch from Republican to Democrat, you're switching on the basis of your beliefs.
And that I also did that because when I was in high school, right, I had a certain mindset, and then I went to college and I was exposed to new things. I met new people, different mindsets were introduced. And I was persuaded because I had more information available to me. So I reevaluated my positions based on new information, thus determining I leaned more Democratic. That is as American as one can be.
All right.
You take everything into consideration and you make on a decision based on the truth and the facts, not just what is within your small little circle.
Yeah, but do you believe the same things?
What do you
like,
mean?
Like, for Kasich or anyone else, like, I forget the one dude. I think it was – I forget his name. He was from Pennsylvania. He was a lifelong Democrat, and then he switched his party to be a Republican or vice versa. I forget who. I can picture the guy. He looks like Arthur Blank from the Falcons. Might have been Arlen Specter. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, Arlen Specter,
he
yeah.
Flopped.
Yeah, no, I do know Arlen Specter, yeah. I think he worked in the Bush administration.
For anyone that is a career politician, or I'll say this in general too, for anyone that is that doesn't do the whole high school to college thing, once you are established as your belief system, that's your belief system. So for you to automatically one day just be like, hey, like in Kasich's mind or any other Pearson, be like, hey, I want to switch parties, like you're a joke. Like you're just looking for a paycheck. Like you believed in something for 30 years and you tell me over the last four years or whatever time frame it was, they changed all of a sudden, you're full of shit then.
Do you think you can still be a Republican and not support Trump?
Partially, in a way. Because, like, my mom, she voted Republican. She's been a Republican. She's Republican through and through. She does not like Trump at all. But she voted on the platform of Republican versus Democrat. Even though Trump has very skewed Republican views, she does not agree with Biden's platform. So between the two, she voted for Trump still, even though she does not like him as a person.
Yeah, but I'm saying if there was a Republican who was a Republican who did this election, voted for Biden, would you still consider them a Republican?
No, because you that's like saying, hey, I'm an Eagles fan, but hey, go Cowboys when they're facing the Eagles.
Yeah, but okay, but that would but
that doesn't make any sense.
If you're
how does it make any sense?
No, but because Trump, in my opinion, Trump does not okay, Trump Republicanism versus Bush Republicanism are very, very, very
yeah,
different.
Yeah, it's
the
same thing going on with AOC and Bill Clinton.
But that's what I'm saying. If you were a Republican who voted for Bush and you wanted all Republicans to be just like Bush, and then 2016 rolls or 2020 rolls around and you're like, what the hell is this Trump guy doing? Or 2016, and you say this is nothing like the Bush Republican Party I knew. I don't want to vote for this guy, even though I still believe in Bush Republican yes. values. Those you're telling me that if I believe in Bush Republican values, which are not Republican values today, I am no longer a Republican because I believe in a Republican belief system that existed 15 years ago but does not anymore.
Correct.
I'm no longer a Republican.
You're not, because the Republican viewpoint now, as of 2020, is Trumpism.
So you're telling me that no matter if on paper I'm a Republican, I have to automatically believe what Trump comes out and says, okay, every third born infant child has to be slaughtered by the father, right? I have to believe that because I'm a Republican, and that in order to be called
no,
a Republican,
you don't have to
that's
believe
the
that.
Argument. I
mean,
you don't
it's
have to
believe in that, but the. It's like Penn State football. Like Penn State football used to be a ground and pound team, but they evolved over time because things change within the game.
That's yeah, but okay, but you're rooting for Penn State football because it's Penn State football, right? No matter how they play the game, you still want them to win because there's no negative side effects to rooting for Penn State football, right? There are negative. I mean, this is politics. This is like people's.
Yeah, I understand
lives,
that, but I'm saying
the decisions
I'm saying,
made.
I'm saying if you're a Bush Republican, okay, and over 15 years, the Republican Party has switched its views to be more aligned with Trump, and you don't align yourself with those viewpoints, you're not a Republican anymore.
Then what are you?
An old school Republican. I don't know what the term would be. You're not a current Republican. I don't agree with all of Trump's shit.
Y- sometimes you make
how does that not make
zero sense?
Sense.
Because if I'm a
old George Bush, Ronald Reagan, Ford, I don't care who, pick one, okay? And if I'm a that is my guy. That is my favorite president. That's the guy I most align with over all of time, right? That is what I'm. That's my type of Republican. All right, it's like the fucking a scale on like the map on like if you're slightly left, moderately left, in the middle, slightly right, far right. So if over time the Republican Party or Democratic Party or whatever party you are changes over time, where hey now the Republican Party is far right, but you're somewhere on the scale, which makes you a libertarian party, some like whatever party is out there that I have no clue what it's on. That's what you are.
Okay, if that's what you want to believe, then I can't change that. But maybe the whole, maybe we should, and we should, first of all, I agree with what I'm about to say. We just need to get rid of parties. There should not be political parties, right? I understand why we have them, but if they are going to exist, we should at least have more
than two.
It's not going to happen. We're the only country in the world that is a two-party system, which
causes the problem that you're talking about right now. How some old school Republicans like John McCain. Look at John McCain and his wife last night. The reason why Trump...
John McCain
I know
has
that,
been dead
that,
for
but
years,
that's what I'm saying.
So.
I'll give that example. John McCain was an old school Republican, right? He and Trump clashed. Mm-hmm. So what happened? His wife said, fuck Trump. Biden is my friend. And what happened?
But that's because she had nowhere else to go. That's why if there were
but that's
multiple
my point.
Parties...
That is
were,
what
like...
I'm saying for your example of how you're not Republican or not anymore. You're not. Because your viewpoints have changed from the party. So yeah, you might have been a Republican 20 years ago, but if your viewpoints don't match with the at Republican anymore, how can you call yourself Republican?
Okay. Do you remember the Republican primary from 2016, right? There were like 20 Republicans all vying.
Yeah, and I wanted
president.
Ted Cruz.
All of them had very Zodiac killer Ted Cruz, which is hilarious that he buys into that. And I'm not a fan of Ted Cruz, but the fact that he like runs with that joke is incredible. 20 different guys on stage, right? During these primaries, all vying for the presidency. Every single one of them had a different belief system, right? So you're telling me that there are 20 different people all with 20 different belief systems, right? Some are Bush Republicans, some were like Trump was on stage, so Trump Republicans. What is the Republican Party then, right? If all 20 of them are getting votes from Republicans across the country, right? You're telling me that the only people who fit into the true Republican Party are the people who voted for Trump out of all of the voters voting across
the country?
No,
that doesn't make you a true Republican. That just makes you like the type of Republican that is current right now.
So you're telling me that...
So like 20 years ago, the Democrats and Republicans were switched. Democrats were mostly in the South
I know.
Over time, your viewpoints change or your party's viewpoints change. And if your belief system has always been a certain way and all of a sudden that certain way does not align with your party, then obviously you have to vote not vote because we're in a two-party system, or if for some reason the Democrats now view, you know, abortion being wrong and whatever it might be, like, then you go over there.
Well, again, I don't agree with you, but let's just stop talking about this because it's one of those we're never going to make any headway. So let's move on.
Let's get into football quick.
All right. What should we discuss?
Picks. I don't even want to discuss that game.
All right. Receivers looked pretty good. That's all I'll say. If there was one good takeaway, Jahan Dotson had a hell of a game. Parker Washington looked good, as well as that other freshman whose name I don't know, number 13.
The guy from Lackawanna.
Jair Brown? I have no idea. No, I think his last name was like a hyphenated two last name.
I forget.
Who won? Auburn destroyed LSU, right? Who won UCF? Who won UCF Houston?
I didn't watch any night games besides. Was that even a night game?
I don't know. I'll look it up. UCF won 44-21. We both picked. Okay, so you picked up another game with the Indiana over Rutgers. So you are now 14, 15, 16, and 8. And I am 14 and 10.
Here's what I'm going to say this one thing. I don't need to talk about this game, but I want to know what the point spread would be if Micah Parsons, Journey Brown, Noah Kane, and the crowd were in that game. Do they make up those 12 points? 13 points.
I'm going to go with yes, because I think the defense would play better.
That's what I want to know. I want to know if those four things, even KJ Hamler too.
Yeah. Well, I hate thinking about this because you just don't know.
If Micah Parsons and the crowd were in there, those two things specifically, I don't even know what Vegas would have the spread if the crowd was there. How much difference do they make?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. All right, you pick first this week.
Jeez. I'll pick the obvious, Notre Dame and Clemson.
Jeez.
There's a couple games that are popping off the screen for me when I'm looking at the schedule.
Well, if one of them is going to be Florida, Georgia, on paper, probably a good pick, but I think Georgia is going to wipe. They're only giving Georgia 3.5. Jeez, I'll take Georgia to cover by 10. I'm not picking that game because I don't think it's a close game. Wait, there was a good one, right? No. I don't want to pick a Pac-12 game either because who knows what will happen in the Pac-12. Oh, there's nothing. How the hell is Liberty undefeated and ranked?
They're good. Hugh Freeze, baby. What's going to happen first? We get a president elected, like, officially, or you pick a game?
I don't know. It's pretty close. There's honestly not a game here that I – okay, fine. I'm just going to pick Florida, Georgia because on this 8-5, whatever.
All right, here's a couple games that I'm looking at and I'm loving. I cannot wait to sit and watch these games. Michigan, Indiana.
I was going to pick that, but we picked an Indiana Michigan, game last Indiana, week.
Liberty, Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Boston College, Syracuse. I'm so biased, but Pitt and Florida State, I think, is going to be a great game just because two teams are mediocre. And there's another one I like too. Shit. Where was it?
Oregon, Stanford.
No, I think Oregon wipes the table with them. I don't know what the last one I was looking at. I had four of them. Oh, Nebraska, Northwestern.
No. Well, what do you
Well,
like?
We have to agree on this last one.
Well, which one do you prefer
pick,
of those
pick
four?
Between these two, Liberty, Virginia Tech, or Michigan, Indiana?
Let's do Liberty because we picked the Indiana game last week. Liberty versus Va Tech. All right.
I have Clemson.
This is without Trevor Lawrence, this gets a lot more interesting. It's at Notre Dame,
and they have
too,
fans.
Right? Yeah. Did they play last year? You know what? I'm taking Notre Dame.
Nice.
I'm doing it. I'm taking Georgia.
I'm taking Georgia as well. And I will take Liberty.
I'm going to take Virginia Tech just because I don't. Who the hell is Liberty even
Syracuse.
played?
Syracuse.
They're terrible.
They beat up on them.
I'm taking Virginia Tech. Because my mom's old boss's son goes to Liberty, and my mom's old boss kind of sucked. So,
well, I'm glad she got out of it.
Yeah.
I almost got my master's from Liberty. Yeah.
Really? Isn't it like that's a school that's like super religious, but they're – president like got caught like cheating on his wife hammered with like the pool girl, right?
They're also the school that tried to
Classic.
Stay open during COVID.
Yeah, I remember that too. Jerry Falwell, that's his name. All right, we have Notre Dame, Clemson, Florida, Georgia, Liberty, Virginia Tech. Connor has Clemson, Georgia, Liberty. I have Notre Dame, Georgia, and Virginia Tech. Lock it in.
And then game day for next week.
Yeah.
I will say it's not.
Oh wait, isn't it? Wait, no, isn't next week the week they're at the Masters?
Is it? Oh yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
yeah,
it's a good
it
thing
is. Yeah.
There's no good games aside Wisconsin and Michigan, but Michigan might lose, and Wisconsin might not even play.
Dude, it's funny. I crack up at how Wisconsin keeps climbing in the rankings, and everyone's like. Like today, Wisconsin, like ESPN releases their prediction of most likely to make the playoffs. Wisconsin was like the fifth team on the list. I'm like, they're going to have played six games by the time the season ends. You can't put them in the playoff. They have no body of work.
All right. And now.
I also want Michigan to wipe the floor with Indiana because Indiana's pissed me off. How, like, oh, sure, you beat Penn State on a fluke and then you beat Rutgers. And all of a sudden, Indiana's like, oh, we're the team to beat. We're hot shit in the Big Ten. I honestly, as much as I dislike Ohio State, I can't wait till Ohio State beats Indiana by like 49 points. Because honestly, at least in that case, the world is returned to normal where Indiana gets their asses kicked because they are Indiana. Like, that's the, like, at a certain point, the teams I dislike, I'm okay when they win just to prove a point that things are a certain way. And when they shit all over Indiana, I will be fine with it.
Yeah.
And so now that Michigan lost, and I can consider Michigan, I think we talked about this, now that Michigan is officially probably
out of
the playoff hunt because they're going to lose to Ohio State, I can root for Michigan in a game like this because I want Indiana to get put in their place and lose a game.
No, I want Indiana. I know I want Michigan. I hate Michigan just because of I just want Michigan to suffer. So I'm rooting for Indiana.
Yeah, but see, I want Michigan to suffer too, but I want Michigan to suffer in games against Michigan State and against Ohio State. Like, the teams that they really despise. Like, Indiana, nobody cares about Indiana. I mean, it's Indiana, who cares? Like, if you beat them, big deal, it's Indiana. If you lose, you know, okay, Indiana's having a good year. It's like losing to Minnesota last year. Also, wanted to talk about that, because here you are, Mr. PJ Flex, taking this team to relevancy for the rest of forever, row the boat. They can't even beat Maryland.
Okay.
0-2. I'm not rowing the boat. I brought right. my boat to shore. I was rowing the boat, but now my boat is at shore, and I am sipping a margarita at the local bar. I've left the boat.
Well, here's one thing I have to say to you too. You know how we always talk about those teams that are never back? Michigan, Texas, Miami, so and so, and Notre Dame for that matter. Penn State is included in that now.
Penn State was after 2016, we were certainly back in 2017. And then 2018 took a bit of a downturn, but then we were sure as hell back in 2019.
We're not back.
Like, but Penn, I feel like, but I, we're, but like, did we ever leave? When were we back? Right? Because we had to have been back for us to no longer be back. When were we back?
It's the same thing as Texas and Michigan and Miami. They had their heyday. And now they're trying to climb back and break the cycle, break the Ohio State and Clemson cycle, or Florida State for Miami's case cycle. And Penn State is not back until they get to the playoff.
But that's such an unfair way of you have to be one of the top four teams in the country to be back. Penn State has been – this is the first week we've not been ranked since 2016, right? We've been a top 10 team for how many weeks going back to 2016, 2017. Yeah. Last year, we were number four in the country. Dude, we were like the real deal for the longest time. And like sure, like last year, you beat Minnesota. Same thing as all Michigan. Of a sudden, we're a potential
same
playoff
thing team. As Michigan.
No, I feel like Michigan has been less consistent than we've been over the past since 2016 when Penn State landed
Penn
back
State
on the map.
Penn State is not back until they make a playoff.
But we've been winning bowl games, whereas Michigan has not been winning
but
bowl games.
That does not – we can – there's three teams in the upper echelon that everyone is trying to chase after, Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama. And Penn State has not made even the playoffs yet. So it's great.
So you can only be back when you are better than
when
one
you make
of those
the playoffs,
three teams.
Yes.
Sometimes you have such strict requirements for stuff.
Like this is Penn State is a winning bowl team, Michigan.
No, I disagree.
They don't get
that.
As hype as Michigan. Well, this year they probably did, but you know, every year there's some hiccup.
But that happens to every single team except for Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama. And even last year, Alabama did not make the playoff.
I don't care. Because Penn State cannot even get to the Big Ten championship game.
That's because we're in a conference with arguably the best team in the country over the past four years, other than Clemson. That's... Okay, well, we'll see if we can.
I'm getting sick and tired of this hype train come through Happy Valley, and then every year it's the same thing. And if I'm going to talk about how Miami and Michigan and Notre Dame get all this hype, and Texas for all this hype, and each year they disappoint year in, year out, Penn State probably doesn't get as much hype as those other teams in other years, but I can't be a hypocrite. So Penn State is lumped in with them.
Yeah. I'm sorry you feel that way.
All right, so who's your four playoff teams today?
Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama. Well, here's the thing. Never mind. Because I'm thinking if Clemson loses this week, then presumably they'll play Notre Dame in the ACC championship again, and they'll beat them with Trevor Lawrence. And I think if your one loss is at Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence, and then you end up beating Notre Dame in the ACC championship, you are still in the playoff. So I think Clemson is still in, even if they lose this weekend. I have them, Ohio State, Alabama. That fourth team... Oklahoma State lost, which means the Big 12 is officially done. I don't think a Pac-12 team makes it. And if you talk about the Big 10, the only other team would be Wisconsin. But since they're having games canceled left and right, I don't think they're going to have played enough games to get a legitimate shot at the playoff, which means Is it Cincinnati? We talked about this last time. Could be.
My fourth team is Cincinnati.
So you have the same four as me then, essentially?
Clemson. My 1-2-3 is Clemson, Bama, Ohio State. And then fourth is Cincinnati.
If that were the case, I would love to see it. I would. But the over-under on the Clemson-Cincinnati game would be 35 points, and I'd be tempted to take the over.
Well, Cincinnati is it. I'm rooting hard for Cincinnati as well.
Yeah. I would love to see a group of five team to get in.
And I honestly think it happens, too.
They probably have the easiest schedule of the top five teams for the rest of the year.
Bama
will still have to play presumably Georgia a second time or Florida.
Well, who's Clemson got to face?
Notre Dame. If without their starting quarterback.
Clemson will wipe the floor.
No, I agree, but without him. I mean, last weekend, almost lost to Boston College.
I hope BYU loses Friday night, too. BYU.
Who?
No,
I'm all for BYU. Their quarterback's a stud. Their quarterback's a stud.
Because you can't have fun at BYU.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I never really understood, like, why a college kid would want to go to BYU when you get expelled if you have sex. Like, is that really what you want?
Drink either.
Like, what do they do? You can't hook up. You can't drink. Like, it's a Friday night at BYU. What do? Read a book? I don't know. Have fun but be sober? How does that even work?
And how of all people, Jim McMahon go there?
Why you
not
say
know
that?
Who Jim McMahon is?
Well, I know who he is, but is he, I mean, like, not outside of him being a football player.
Do you know who he played for?
Jim McMahon. He played for the Bears, dude.
And he was an asshole.
Sure.
So I want to know how he of all people went to BYU.
Maybe he became an asshole because he realized that he could have been having fun in college, but he sent him to BYU, and he just resented it for the rest of his life. Although, do you remember, like, the Jimmer Fredette days? I loved those. I loved that year that they were good with him. They could have done some serious damage, but their second best player got kicked off the team because he had sex. That was like 2006.
No,
wasn't it? Like eight?
It was
a long ass time ago.
Yeah.
The Fredette years?
I'm saying that was definitely high school. So probably, I'm going to say 2011.
Like 9 or 10?
Yeah.
No. Our junior
I'm looking
year?
This up right
no
now.
I'm going to say maybe 2009.
Well, no, 2011. I was right.
10-11? The year we were juniors was the Jimmer Fredette years? Oh, my. That seems, like, way off. I mean, I believe you, but I, for some reason, was thinking he was way earlier
right
than
you're
that.
Wrong.
I'll give you that for the first time tonight. You're right.
I was right for a lot of things.
If you want to believe that, be my guest. Yeah, not a great weekend for
not
people
at all. It sucks.
I'm actually kind of curious to watch the younger Tagovailoa play. Just because, I mean, he had to have had a pretty good – he did have a good game against Minnesota. But, I mean, he'll be playing a better defense than a team that hopefully has a chip on their shoulder for the first time in the entire time I've been a Penn State fan. Maybe this is what they needed. Light a fire.
I mean, we'll see what happens, but who knows?
Yeah. I also still like the whole handshake thing with Maryland.
Yeah, I still hate them.
When we were at school.
I hate them for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Hate them.
Yeah.
Like, it goes bottom three are Ohio State, Rutgers, Maryland. Without a question. I hate Maryland.
Yeah. I don't mind. I think the reason I don't hate Rutgers as much as you do is because, like, they're just not good enough to be hated.
They still talk a lot of shit.
Know,
they're
like,
the stupid chihuahua that always – it's not fine.
Which is fine. Like,
I would
let
them in the teeth every time. And they're just scumbags from Jersey that couldn't leave the dumbass state that they grew up in.
I definitely dislike Michigan more than Rutgers.
I don't. Because Michigan actually beat us and put us in our place. Rutgers cannot. And they still talk a lot of shit.
Yeah, but remember when Michigan – it's like the things they did, the whole revenge tour they did from a couple years back. Dude, I hated that.
It got them one games besides Ohio State.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Oh, nothing was more satisfying that year than one. I probably dislike Michigan more than Ohio State. Like, watching them lose to Ohio State by, like – it was like 63 to something. Oh, it was music to my ears. Because I did not like Chase Winovich. That dude 63-39 fucking rubbed me the wrong way.
63-36 is one of those.
Yeah. But, watching them just get – and it was at Michigan too, I think. Oh, music to my ears.
Jimmer.
Or from that. He kicked his legs up too, like in a weird way when he shot. He rained threes though. Dude could hit a jumper.
He was a bum in the NBA though.
Yeah, he was. There are certain guys who were studs in college that just didn't make it work in the NBA, and there are a few of them that just it makes me sad.
It does make me sad. Because I don't give a shit.
Yeah. You see, Penn State basketball has lost a couple of recruits.
No surprise.
Because of the whole...
Penn State basketball is going back to its horrible ways.
Yeah. When you think about it, when we were in college, Penn State basketball was... probably the worst could ever possibly be.
No, it was before those years. It was either that or middle school when Ed Chellis was there before he had Taylor Battle and DJ Newville.
All I'm saying is that when we were there, like, you could probably count the number of conference wins we had during the 4 years we were in college on two hands.
Remember Brandon Taylor?
Yeah.
And Donovan Jack. We were one of probably 50 people that had season tickets to Penn State basketball.
Yeah. But the tickets were like 20 bucks.
Tom Izzo.
Yeah, I saw them. We saw Indiana the year Indiana was ranked number one, and they had the one Zeller or whatever, whoever played there.
I went to that Michigan game where we beat them, but then I left the game early like an idiot.
Yeah, I didn't go. I scheduled an exam at the Pollock Testing Center during the game because I thought I would just give myself more time to study, thinking we'd get blown out, and then of course we won.
I went to the game, was stressed and sick, left the game like an idiot, and then just went home and just like laid down.
Yeah. I remember I walked out of the exam and I had like texts from my family like, "Oh, we get the game, OMG!" And I was like, "What do you mean?" Well, we won.
Sick.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, Penn State basketball.
Well,
Although I'm very curious to see who we hire as our
it's not going to
coach.
be anyone that gets me aroused or anything like that. It's going to be some.
Yeah, but it could be like a new, it's just like a new start type thing. I don't know. I feel like we cannot hire internally. I know they have an interim guy who was an assistant. We need somebody completely unaffiliated with the
Well,
program.
it's going to be the same thing that they do for that they did for Penn State football. They're gonna, they're
Yeah.
you know who they'd probably
That's
hire? What's his face? The one Hurley brother that's coaching at
I have no idea. The only Hurley I know is Bobby.
Wait, where's Wojo coaching right now? Wojo. Steve
Who?
Wojciechowski or whatever his name is. Yeah.
He's a coach? I thought he was
No,
like an
he's a
ESPN
coach.
guy.
Is he at Marquette?
I have no
No
idea.
hope.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think that we should be like, I think Penn State should hire Rick Pitino. Is he coaching anywhere after the
Iona.
whole Louisville fallout? Well, let's take him from Iona. I want Rick Pitino. I don't care about his past. I don't care if he's hiring hookers to bang his players. That's fine, right? That's I have no shit. I have no problem with him. Get Rick Pitino to State College, and he'll bring us back to the forefront.
Yeah.
He can recruit, he can coach. Get me Rick Pitino.
Shell out some money. That's fine by me
Fine by
too.
me.
If you want Penn State basketball to be well, put a lot of money into the coach and a lot of money
You
into recruiting.
got to spend
Exactly.
money to make money. All right. I'm starting this. Rick Pitino to Penn State. It's got to
He's
happen.
at
It's all I
Iona,
want.
so
He's in the vicinity. All right,
it's
Iona's
in New
somewhere in
York,
that direction.
New Rochelle.
Yeah, it's not far. That's not far.
Make it happen, or
All right.
Wojo, or the Hurleys, or I'm trying to think of other guys. Can't think of anyone else that I could just throw out there.
I want to like. I feel like Penn State basketball should do what the White Sox did. Like, find some
You're not
old
gonna build a
retired
program
guy
either.
who, you know. Yeah, but like, just do it to make the tournament. That's all I want.
This was Penn State's year.
I don't know. Although the way we ended the season, probably would have
No, I don't believe
lost
that.
in the first round. We did
Yeah, I
not
know
look
that,
good
but
at the end
I
of the
don't believe
season.
that. Nope.
Well, we'll never
It
know.
sucks. Pe 2020 could have been Penn State
Yeah.
Athletics' greatest year of all time, and it turned out to be the shittiest of all time.
I mean, at the end of the day, we still got to see some really fun wins in basketball. So, I mean, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was fun, but what's the point?
It's all about enjoying the ride.
Yeah, but the ride didn't, the ride just completely ended, so there wasn't really a ride.
But it was fun
I
while it
guess.
lasted.
We will probably never see Penn State basketball make the tournament.
I mean, I don't, I feel like we have to. I mean, of Power Five schools, I have to believe Penn State is currently the longest drought team, or one of them, right, in terms of Power 5 schools that have not made the NCAA tournament in however many years. Like, I feel like, what has it been since?
2011.
Was it 2010, 2011?
Or
2011,
Oregon
so
State?
It's been 9 years. I feel like Illinois is that long, too, even though Illinois was like Penn State. They were a for-sure thing. Or Rutgers.
Wait.
It's been forever for Rutgers. It's been forever for Nebraska. Like TCU.
Trying to think here. Boston College.
Stanford.
Well, Stanford had the Lopez twins, so I don't remember when that was.
It had to have been a long time ago.
USC?
No, I think they've made it. They were like an 8 or a 9 seed in the past couple of years.
I don't know. I'll look that up.
I don't know if I'm sure they do keep track of it somewhere, but we have to be up there. I mean, 9 years is a long time. Is that the only time in the 21st century Penn State's
no,
made the tournament?
2001, I think, or 2000.
Was that the year they beat North
I think
Carolina
it was like 93
and went to the Sweet 16?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Hold on. Ooh, oh, I don't know if you count this, but DePaul.
No, I'm extremely well aware of DePaul because my aunt and uncle have been DePaul basketball season ticket holders my entire life. So
All
I've
right,
been
so
to a ton of
Stanford made it in
DePaul basketball
2014.
games. Oregon State's a good one. It's probably been a long time for them. Or Washington
No,
State?
They made it a
like
couple years
Washington
ago.
State.
Because they had Klay Thompson. But Oregon State also had Obama's brother-in-law as their coach.
I did not know that.
Their last tournament appearance was 2016. Yeah.
Oregon State's.
But that was the first time they made it since 1990.
Damn.
I'll start looking this up, just random teams. I'm looking up Boston College.
I feel like they've
No.
been in it recently enough.
2009.
No? Damn.
That's interesting as shit.
Yeah. What about Wake Forest? The only time I can remember Wake Forest being good is in 2005 when they had Chris Paul.
Well, 2017 for the first four, which I don't count. So 2010.
Okay.
Damn.
Yeah.
Good old March Madness. Rip.
Yep. Honestly.
All right, dude.
Yeah, I'm tired. I've been... Ever since the time changed, it gets light early, right? And so the sun has been coming through my windows because my windows face east. And it just wakes me up at like 6 a.m.
Not fun.
It's not great. No. And then I can't fall back. And then, you know, I can't fall back asleep for the last, you know, hour or whatever sleep I normally get. So I've been suffering.
Well, get some shut-eye, man.
You too, even though I know that's
impossible.
Less of a likelihood, but
all right, dude. Well, hey, I'll catch you later.